Top DoD technology officials have remained skeptical for years about whether a BYOD approach could overcome legal, security, and policy hurdles in the Pentagon. But for the Marines, the urgency behind the push to at least give BYOD a try is almost entirely about money. Rob Anderson is the chief of the Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps CIO's office.
FY16 sequestration is right around the corner. We want to present a solution that will help mitigate some of that threat to those O&M dollars that we are going to be forced to cut. There's got to be some way we can do this better. Because from the Marine Corps perspective, we're just going to start canceling people's phones. You got a phone? Hey, you know what? You're not that important. I'm taking it back. Seriously. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen in the Marine Corps.
The Navy and Marine Corps have already made significant strides in reducing their mobile device costs since they consolidated their hardware and service plans under a single contract vehicle administered by the Naval Supply Systems Command. But the two services are still paying about $480 per year for every user they outfit with a government-owned device. On the other hand, Anderson reckons that a mobility-as-a-service structure that the Marine Corps is building will cost it about $40 per user per year. That would cover the costs it would have to pay to wireless carriers to supply a government-controlled, secure container that runs on a user's personally owned device and meets DoD security specifications that require government data to be walled off from the rest of the phone.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. We can eliminate one device and bring 10 people in for $440. When you start looking at big numbers, if the Department of Defense has 400,000 users and we want to eliminate 300,000 of those users, we will save the taxpayers $144 million a year just by eliminating those voice and data plans. When we eliminate those 300,000 users and we save that amount of money, how many users can we then get into the network at $40 a year? The numbers are substantial. $144 million is a lot of money. That buys a lot of gas.
But Anderson says it's far from certain that the BYOD plan will work, which is why the Marines are launching a very small beta test next month. It will involve just 17 Marine Corps members using devices on loan from the wireless carriers. Anderson will personally serve as a one-man help desk for each of those users so he can track each of the issues they run into during the test phase. The plan has been in the works since this past spring, but Anderson says it's been delayed until now because the service's limited IT engineering staff has been consumed with the task of transitioning its IT networks away from the Navy Marine Corps intranet and into the government-operated Marine Corps Enterprise Network. But if the Marines don't experience any major hiccups during the test, Anderson predicts there will be a change in DoD policy that allows the Corps to implement a full-scale BYOD strategy by midway through next year.
These current devices that we have, we've got them via a bailment agreement, so they are loaner devices. We have to give those things back. Once that's done, we'll then aggregate the data, and that's when I'll probably end up writing a paper saying, these are the things that happened, this is the trending from the users, this is what we need to look forward to and the problems from an engineering perspective on how to actually put this into an enterprise solution. Because for a beta of 17 is a little bit different than moving into 80,000 people, right? So I would expect that there'll be a hiatus. Once those devices get turned back in, there'll be a hiatus for us to look at the data, make a decision point, say, okay, how are we going to move forward next? And it's probably going to take that long for the BYOD user agreement to be vetted by council. So I would expect about a 3-month turn on the user addendum, BYOD user addendum. So I think from a time perspective, we're going pretty well. I'm thinking late Q2, early Q3 15, there should be policy in place to do this. If the testing proves positive. If the testing didn't prove positive, gang, we're going to tell everybody, hey, look, this is not going to work. But, you know, at least we're experimenting with it.
Among the many complications that agreement will need to tackle is the thorny question of whether the government can delete data from a personally owned device if it suspects the device has been compromised. But Anderson says the Marine Corps also needs to work through issues like data spillage in cases where, for example, a user accidentally transfers secret information into a security container that's only approved to handle unclassified data.
I believe it's going to require a joint memo from DoD CIO and USDI. On those procedures that need to be affected pertaining to the spillage of secret data inside of an organizational container. The other one, though, is TSSCI. And that is one that's going to require a joint memo between DoD, CIO, and DNI to identify those procedures that are required to remove the TSSCI. Unfortunately, at this point in time, these are both just really good ideas, and we haven't been able to move forward yet. That's why I'm throwing this out on the table this morning when I brief in a couple hours.
But Anderson says he doesn't think that's a technology problem. He says commercially available solutions that can encrypt data and erase it in the case of a spillage have already made major advances in recent years. It's just a matter of waiting for the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate to certify that those practices are good enough for government data.
If you just look what's happened in the last 3 months pertaining to containerized container technology and operating system technology, I think we're to the point now where the security is not so much the issue, because the data that resides in that organizational container that's provided by the government is pretty doggone secure. If Apple can't break into their own operating system, isn't that good enough? I would surely think so.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.